We're going to be beginning a series I'm calling Learning to Pray Like Jesus. Prayer is one of those things that we tend to talk a lot about and even study a lot about in the church. When it comes right down to praying, well, far too many lack follow-through. Jesus, on the other hand, he talked about prayer out of the overflow of what he was actually experiencing. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission." The word prayer, or a form of it, is used at least 25 times in direct connection with Jesus praying in the gospel accounts. There are many other instances where the specific word may not be used, but it's obvious that he was engaged in prayer. Now, Jesus had many outstanding characteristics we could focus on, many things about his life, many things that we could look to him for an example. But one thing that's very apparent as you look at the gospel accounts is his devotion to prayer. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking to him not only for our instruction, but for an example of one who honestly had a prayer life, which is something many of his followers lack. Throughout the years, when I've had opportunity to be one-on-one with believers, I will often ask them, particularly if I haven't had an opportunity to challenge them for a while, I might ask them just, "How's your prayer life?" The responses I get are varied. Sometimes the responses are not very good. Once in a while, it's, "Well, it could be better." I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say, though, "It is fabulous." And that's a shame, don't you think? But I've never heard anyone just really say, "You know, it is absolutely fabulous, it's wonderful, it's great, it's everything I believe it ought to be." But a casual read through the gospel accounts reveals not only that Jesus had a prayer life, his life was full of prayer. And it reveals a lot to us about his view about prayer that influenced, I believe, him to be such a prayerful person. For instance, if you were to look at the bulletin insert that I have there, my article this week, if you will, you're going to find several references to Jesus' personal prayers. Now, I could read through all of them. You can do that later. I will just highlight one. It's from Luke chapter 5. It says in verse 15 and 16 that as the news spread about him all the more, crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. If you look at all of those references, you're going to find that there's a theme there, and it's the idea that Jesus routinely prayed alone. That's very significant, and I'll tell you why. I want you to think about it. What you do when you're all by yourself says a lot about who you really are and about what you really see as important. Let that sink in a minute. Isn't that true? That what you do when no one else is looking, when no one else is paying attention, when it's just you, what you do, what you focus on, says a whole lot about you. It says a whole lot about Jesus, doesn't it? His example indicates that prayer was an integral part of his life. Why would that be? why was that so much a focus for him? I'll suggest a few things. Jesus saw prayer to be a direct link to his Father. When Jesus prayed, he communicated with his Father one-on-one. He spoke to his Father. And then he opened his heart for a response. Those who know me well know that I'm not much for talking on the phone. If I call you, I'm generally looking for some information to be passed on one to another. It's not for conversation. That's why I like texting. It's short, it's to the point, right? Get the point across, and you're done. And I like texting. Not much for conversation on the phone. But if I'm with you, face to face, how many of you know that I'm not easily at a loss for words? I can talk with you for long periods of time, can't I? And even if you don't respond, I can talk to you for a long period of time. You know that. Why is that? There's something that I believe this is not just true of me, but there's something about when you're in someone's presence, when you really recognize you're in someone's presence, you are really talking to someone, you are face to face with them, and they are communicating with you too, that makes all the difference. And I believe that one of the reasons why maybe many Christians, maybe all Christians, fail to pray as much as they should and could, is that they don't recognize that they are in the presence of the Father. They don't realize that prayer is a conversation with the Father. There are some who object to that idea, conversation, because it indicates the idea of two-way. That you converse and then you're expecting a response. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus saw it as a two-way thing. And I think we need to see it that way too. We need to speak and we need to wait for response. We need to be quiet and listen. That sometimes we're so busy talking and not listening. If we recognize the face-to-face, personal connection with the Father, we'd likely pray more than we do. What do you think? Jesus also saw prayer to be a source of both divine wisdom and strength. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus said he couldn't do anything that the Father didn't enable him to do. And in John 12, 49 and 50, that he didn't say anything that the Father didn't instruct him to say. So when he was about to perform a mighty miracle, such as feeding multitudes or raising a dead man who'd been in the grave for 4 days, he prefaced it with prayer. When he had to face a grueling task, he prayed fervently until he got a response, an answer. When he had an important decision to make, like, you know, choosing the apostles, he spent the previous night in prayer. Now, if the Son of God did this, what is it about us that makes us think we can go through life without calling upon this divine source of wisdom and strength? What makes us think that we can handle difficult things in life without praying? What makes us think that we can handle difficult people without praying? What makes us think that we can make important decisions without consulting the Father and praying for discernment and wisdom and, yes, strength in the process? I wonder. If the Son of God depended upon that line of communication for that source of divine wisdom and strength, shouldn't we? For Jesus, I believe prayer came as natural as breathing. It's not that Jesus didn't pray in the synagogue, because he did. or pray before meals, because we have some evidence of that as well. Or that he prayed at night before going to bed. But he prayed much more often than that. We read instances where it seems like Jesus was engaged in prayer for hours at a time. I'm confident that he wasn't engaged in what we might call formal prayer all the time. He paused, as any of us would have to put into action what he was praying about. And I believe that he often prayed and meditated and waited in quiet solitude and waiting for responses and, if you will, impressions upon his heart, and then he prayed again. But it's as if he never really stopped praying, any more than we stop breathing. We take a breath, we pause, we take another breath. If we breathe, we're going to be hyperventilating. But we pray, we pause, we pray, we pause. See? It's like I believe Jesus was like that. But it's as if he is the model for what the Apostle Paul would challenge the Thessalonians to do in his first letter to them in chapter 5. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Jesus was a model for that. He was one who eased in and out of prayer as natural as breathing. It's as if he never, ever really stopped. So when we talk about praying like Jesus, what do we mean? When I posted the theme on the webpage and on the church Facebook page, I got a lot of likes. People like. A lot of people liked nearby and other states, friends. I like that. I only got a couple of comments. Comments like, boy, I'm looking forward to that, or I wish I could be there, I'll listen to the lessons afterwards. I really wanted to be part of this learning to pray like Jesus. But again, I wondered and actually asked a couple of people, well, what is it you want to learn? And what I got was more that they wanted to learn how to have their prayers get the responses that Jesus got. Not so much that they wanted to learn to pray the way Jesus prayed. That they wanted responses to prayer, but didn't necessarily want to be responsive to the Father like Jesus was in prayer. They wanted the power, but not necessarily the practice. So I have some questions. When was the last time you retired to a mountain to pray? Jesus did that frequently. Now, I'm speaking metaphorically. I needn't be an elevated place on a physical plane. It's not about altitude, but it is about solitude. When was the last time that you withdrew someplace just to be alone with God to pray? Is there nowhere that you can go to lift up your heart and hands in prayer? Is there no solitary, secluded spot where you go not to catch a nap, but to communicate to your Father in heaven? See, Jesus realized the value of getting away for one-on-one time with the Father. I have a few places, and I have throughout my life at different times, but I have a few places now in the Rockford area where I go just to pray. They aren't always far away, but they are away from the office, from the routine, where I can have some uninterrupted time with God. Do you have such a place? For Jesus, it was a mountain. Where's your mountain? Do you have such a place? one such place for me, and I've shared about this before in a different context, but is a lay-by on Route 70. Sometimes on the way back from a visit in Duran, I pull over now. First time I pulled over there was to answer a phone call. Now I pull over and silence my phone. And I pray. It's not always for long, but it's a peaceful, quiet, solitary place. And I just pray. What about? A lot of things. A lot of things. There are other places a lot closer to home. Some of them would surprise you. Why I would go there. Arlington Cemetery. Why would I go there to pray? There's nobody there to disturb me. And nobody looking for me there. Now you will be. Where's Steve? But he's at Arlington Cemetery. Serious. Just to pull off, there's some benches there. On a nice day, set and pray. Where's your mountain? When did you last rise up early for the sole purpose of seeking God's face in prayer? Now, you may do that, you know, rise up early to go to work out of necessity, or on your day off to go fishing or to play golf, or on a vacation, you know, for an early start. But when's the last time you got up before dawn to pray? Jesus did that routinely, didn't he? I'm not a morning person. And Anina is. She gets up early in the morning, and she does. She has her quiet time with God. She prays, and she reads her Bible before I get up. It might be 4:30 in the morning for her, but she does that routinely, and she cherishes that time. Like I say, I'm not a morning person. I set my alarm sometimes to get up early to pray with someone before their surgery or going through a crisis. But normally, morning time's not my prayer time, unless it's, Lord, help me another day. You know, that might be my, but seeking God. Jesus saw that to be a priority first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. He seemed to have an internal clock that awakened his spirit, his heart, to communicate with the Father before he did another thing. As the sun rose, so did the Son of God. But he rose to pray. I confess, sometimes I don't pray until I get to the office. I think I need to learn to pray like Jesus more in this regard. When, if ever, did you spend the entire night praying? I've done that a few times in times of crisis or extreme anxiety, on my knees in a hospital chapel, walking a deserted, snow-covered street at midnight. There have been a few times where I've been to prayer vigils or retreats, where they're having a prayer vigil retreat at a church or someplace, you know, and it's going to pray all night long. And I've gone to those with friends and with church members, and we spent a good part of the time praying, but I will tell you that we spent at least as much time just talking, visiting. Instead of fasting, we were feasting. And that was good. There was nothing wrong with that necessarily, but found we didn't pray as much or as long as we said we were going to or intended to. And maybe that's one of the reasons why Jesus chose to do it solo. No distractions. He gave up physical rest for a rest in his Father's presence. And in that, he found that strength He found refreshment in prayer. Have you ever struggled in prayer so intently you worked up a sweat? Let alone prayed so hard that drops of blood seeped out of your pores? Jesus did. Luke's account of the Garden of Gethsemane tells us that. I don't know about you, but I've never come close to that. I don't think I've ever worked up a sweat in prayer, let alone the other, which is a physical manifestation of stress. He was under stress, but under that stress, what he did is he stressed praying. See, I prayed when I'm stressed, but I haven't stressed praying enough. How about you? He prayed intently until the stress was eased, relieved. Scripture tells us God sent angels to strengthen him when he prayed that intently, to surrender his will. The passage we opened with, Hebrews 5 verse 7, says he was heard because of what? Can anybody remember? His reverent submission. Prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears, it says. That sounds like Gethsemane, doesn't it? And he was hurt because of his reverent submission. He had to struggle with his will to surrender to God's will. And it was a hard struggle. And he was victorious. Later on in the Hebrew letter, it will talk about a challenge to Christians who were in struggles. They were being persecuted. They were going through difficulties. And the Hebrew writer says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Interesting. Now, the first read through that would maybe think, okay, well, we're talking about they haven't resisted the persecutors to the point where they've been beaten or they've actually been hurt to the point where they physically bled. But I wonder. I certainly have never resisted the devil or resisted temptation to the point of shedding blood. Jesus did. Praise be to God that he did. Maybe I'd see more victory in my struggle if I prayed more fervently like Jesus did. I want to experience the power of prayer. I want to experience the power that Jesus had in his prayer life. How about you? But I think if we're going to experience the power, we're going to need to learn the practice. We need to learn to pray like Jesus. It's going to take an investment of time and energy. So many people I talk to, especially when the idea of praying long periods, they say, I just don't have the time to pray like that. I don't have the time. I'm a busy person. I don't have the time to pray. Have any of you even ever thought that? I don't have time to pray? Read through the Gospels again. Was Jesus a busy person? For the 3.5 years that he was in public ministry, he was busier than any of us ever are. And somehow he got it all done. He finished the work the Father gave him to do. He won every victory, even victory over death on the cross. I believe it's because he took the time. He made the time. Pray. Don't have time? Yes, you do. Take the time. Make the time. Pray like Jesus. It'll take some energy. It will. Some dedication, determination. And as trite as it might sound, I believe the place to begin is likely in prayer. Asking God the Father to open our hearts to the reality of his presence and to fill us with a longing to converse with him. May he awaken us to what we've been missing. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you, in Jesus' name, for this wonderful and precious opportunity that we have to talk with you. We're not speaking into the air. We're speaking to you, and you are attentive, and you're listening. And God, because Jesus died on the cross, was a sacrifice for our sins, we have this privilege to approach your throne of grace, knowing, God, that you don't shun us, you don't withdraw from us, that we come into your presence. Thank you, God, for that. May we see the significance of that. May we be impressed with the knowledge of you are here. May we move to communicate with you. Let's see the beauty of your face and experience the beauty and wonder of your grace. God, may our hearts be changed and converted and convicted about how important it is to spend this time with you. Because that's really what it is. In the process, God, I trust, I believe you'll equip us to be so much more than we are, become so much more who you want us to be. Thank you, God, for listening. Our hearts are open to hear from you. In Jesus' name.